Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. So, what we're really going to address here, hopefully in the next few minutes, is why does God allow such evil to take place? Can God allow evil? Does God allow evil? Why is there such evil in the world today? And the fact is, in order to allow choice, God must allow evil. What is evil? I mean, evil, we equate it with darkness. And what is darkness? The absence of light. When you shut out the light, darkness occurs. That's just the way it works. That's just the law of nature. And so, if you shut out the truth, say about yourself, you shut out the light about you, that would shine in you and reveal yourself. And this is what happens. Something happens that you don't want to see, you don't want to admit. You want to lie first to yourself. You didn't, because it's painful, maybe. You're traumatized by what happened or what didn't happen. You were left in the crib and you cried and you cried and you cried, and this traumatized you. And you didn't want to think about that anymore. I mean, what was the sin of Adam and Eve? What did they do? They hid themselves. They didn't want to admit they had done wrong. Adam thought, happy wife, happy life. So he did what Eve suggested he do, which of course is falsehood. That isn't the way it works. Jesus said you have to hate your family. What he means is you have to love your family less than righteousness. If your family doesn't want to go to righteousness, you can't bow down to the whim of your family. You don't want to actually hate them, and you don't want to hurt them. You want them to awaken too. So, happy wife is not necessarily happy life if you compromise righteousness. He did. And then he hid from the fact, and he didn't accept the blame for what he had done, his choice. It's not my fault. Eve defrauded me. It's Eve's fault. Actually, he blamed it on God. He says, the woman you gave me this fruit. So it's your fault, God. Now we do that every day. Kids do that in the back seat. He hit me first. He started it. It's not my fault. We all do this. But when we do it in our own minds, when we have this trauma and we don't want to see the truth, we hide from the truth about ourselves. And we put that information in our minds, where it's recorded in our minds, we close the door. The Scarlett O'Hara. I don't want to think about that. I will think about that on another day. So she closes her mind to this trauma. And then she can't see in that area of her mind. And anything else that's in that room, in that dark room, in that dark corner of the temple of the Holy Spirit that she does not want to see is hidden, the truth about herself and other things. She's losing access to the temple. She's turning it over to whatever dark force that wants to be in there. She just doesn't want to see it. She doesn't want to see the truth. You have to want to see the truth. And the most it's not hard to see the truth about other people's wickedness. Oh, I can see that the, Federal Reserve System is a debt system that defrauds the people and will lead to absolute economic chaos. I can see that. It's those darn bankers. But that isn't going to save you. What's going to save you is what you see about yourself. It's a journey within. The kingdom of God is within you. You don't go in rooms within you. You don't clean out your temple. And demonic influences are coming and influencing your mind from other realms, from the gates of hell itself. And you don't have to believe that, but the result of that is what you call evil today. So, you know, you got people like running for office like Bernie Sanders, who's a socialist, and you can't be a socialist and a Christian. Just can't be. It just doesn't work, because socialism is based on the idea of coveting your neighbor's goods. You're not going to have dominion. You're going to have a collective dominion, and somebody's going to get to decide who has to pay, how much they have to pay, and who it goes to. And that person has power over and dominion over his brother. That's what socialism is. You desire benefits. Free education, free health care, whatever. A new bike. At the expense of your neighbor. Somebody else. You say, well, he should pay. He's rich. Well, it doesn't work out that way. Because you're willing to take a bite out of him, you yourself will be devoured. Because as you judge, so shall ye be judged. And you won't know this till you're on the hot blacktop, walking, trying to get to the next town because you're starving to death. And you're going to say, where's Bernie now? And he's not going to show up. And he's not going to save you. Because you couldn't see the truth. Now, you see all these young people who don't even have a clue. They don't understand history. They don't understand law. They don't understand natural law. I mean, most of you don't understand natural law. And all I can do is bear witness and hope that you see it. Most of you will not wake up until it's too late, where you're, if you survive at all, it will be a miracle. Now, if you're already thinking, well, I got to get more ammo, and I got to get beans, and I got to stock the cabin, and well, you're already lost, because you're just trying to save yourself. Oh, no, I'm trying to save my family, too. Okay, you're trying to save you and those who love you. There's no grace in there. And before we're done, I haven't told you the bad stuff yet. the losing all the power and starvation and riots and murder and rape. And if this happens in Europe, oh, it'll just be, with the influx of people they have now, it'll be unbelievable. But that's not the bad stuff, okay? It's really going to get bad. But I'm not going to tell you, because it would just scare you to death. Your salvation is in following the ways of Christ, learning to love one another, and be willing to take the time to organize yourself to love one another. You are all addicted to these benefits. You're addicted to a certain way of thinking that justifies this dark system of taking away from one another that is destroyed Rome, but now it's going to destroy the new Roman Empire. And there isn't going to be a corner of the earth that's safe. Not anywhere. Protecting yourself is a right. You have a right to protect yourself. But not at the cost of life of others. You don't have, well, you do. I mean, if somebody's trying to kill you, yeah, you can defend yourself against him. But can you kill other people that aren't trying to kill you in order for you to be saved? Every time you have a fire in a theater and people are stampeding out, everybody's trying to save themselves, and they're all trying to get out the door, and they're actually, killing people in the process, walking over and crushing people. Someone is just mentioning the Pol Pot and the largest forced migration in the history of the world, at least at that time, or at least that's what some people say, where millions and millions of people were forced out of Khmer Rouge, out of Phnom Penh during the Cambodian War. And there were actually people on the road you'd see this thing on the road. It looked like cloth and clothes and stuff. And it was actually people that had been flattened like pancakes from the million people that had stepped on them. Because if you stepped out of line, they shot you. So everybody stayed in line and just kept walking. Millions died. That's nothing. That's nothing compared to what you're going to see. But the craziness is in. You know, boys get to shower in the girls' locker room because they feel like a girl today. And people actually talk. You know, judges actually say, well, yeah, that's legal. You know, that's because he feels like a girl, he should be able to. What about the girls who don't feel like he's a girl? Their rights are insignificant. They're not important. We don't care about them. They don't even think about that. That, you know, they're right. You know, they don't want him in there. You know, that's just crazy. They got, you know, little kids now that are going through sex changes because their parents think, oh, he wants to be a girl. Yeah, he's a boy. He's got mechanically, he's a boy, but he wants to be a girl, so we're going to change him. It's mutilation of their children. Mutilation of them psychologically, even if they don't go to operations and all that stuff, but they're mutilating their children. They're going totally against nature. And you're going to see that more and more. They talk about that, perverting the natural use. And that's what they're doing. You know, the Satanic Temple in Phoenix is forcing lawmakers to ban public prayer. You know, atheists were doing the same kind of thing because it offends them. Muslims are offended by Valentine's Day. So in some schools, they're not going to have Valentine's Day because Muslims are offended by that. What happened if Christians come in and say, well, I'm offended by a hijab or burqa? That offends me. So you can't wear that anymore. I mean, that's turnabout's fair play, right? You could do that. But it's all nonsense. We're not supposed to say anything bad about Muslims or we could actually be arrested. And I don't really care about saying anything bad about Muslims. I mean, if they believe in the Ten Commandments, let's see them start keeping it. Same with the Jews. They don't keep it. They all covet one another's goods. So none of them are keeping the Ten Commandments. And if you broke one, you broke them all. So it's all just, you know, it's nonsense. Muslim, Jew, Christian. Most of the people use these labels. It's nonsense. You don't know them by their labels. You know them by their fruits. The fruit of what they're doing. What is the spirit in them causing them to do? Is it causing them to covet their neighbor's goods, trying to control their neighbors, make them wear certain clothes, make them act a certain way? I mean, you got marches where Muslims are marching through, you know, I think it was Birmingham, England, and they're yelling, you know, blankety blank the cops, blankety blank the cops, down with this, and they're just condemning all this. And I thought that looked like hate speech. They should all be arrested, right? And if the police don't have enough power, they should bring out the army and arrest them. I mean, if you're going to make a law against hate speech, I don't particularly care one way or the other. I don't want more laws against hate speech. Now, I'll tell you something shocking. I'm pro-choice. Now, am I for abortion? Absolutely not. Totally against abortion. But I'm pro-choice. I think I should have a choice whether or not I have to pay for your abortion. You see, all these people who say they're pro-choice, they're not pro-choice. They want to force you to pay for their abortion. They want to take your choice. They want to force you to pay for their education. They want to force you to pay for their health care. They want to force you to pay for their contraceptive devices and pills. And then when they get cancer, they want you to pay for their cancer treatment. They're not pro-choice. You see? I'm also pro-life. But I'm not, the labels are ridiculous. They don't see the insanity of what they're doing because their mind is darkened. They cannot see what's going on in their own minds. They are blind. The blind leading the blind. Saying, oh, well, he's a girl because he feels like a girl. He's got all the mechanics of a boy, but he feels like a girl, so he gets that shower, you know, in the girls' locker room. The heck with the girls or what they want. They are not allowed privacy now. That, you know, offending them is not important. We have to feed his psychosis, because we have psychosis that thinks that it's okay to rule over your brother and your neighbor and force your neighbor to do things the way you want. It's only going to get worse. You know, the spirit of taking from your neighbor, taking a bite out of your neighbor, they say, you know, let's make a city and we all be, you know, like a, it will, the city will be like a cauldron and we'll be the flesh. You know, they talk about that in the Old Testament. They're talking about socialism. And they're talking about how that destroys you. You don't get it. Your preachers don't get it. They don't tell you what Jesus said was the weightier matters. They don't get it. They're blind guides. So what do you do about it? You wake up. You see this. You see that you haven't been loving your neighbor. You've been biting your neighbor and you've become devoured in the process. And now they're raping you. They're murdering you. They had to get guys from out of town to do it, but they're doing it. You know, if you're in Sweden or Norway or Calais, you know, I just heard an old lady talking about how bad it is in Calais, France. It's because you've been a socialist nation. That's why they just shower these people with benefits when they come in. You've been biting your neighbors for almost a century. You should be devoured. You should be destroyed. But God wants to show you mercy, and that begins when you repent. You have to see this idea that it's okay to take from your neighbor, to force your neighbor to contribute to your welfare, has destroyed a part of your brain so that you cannot even see what's going on or what's coming. I mean, to me, I look out, I see it. If I'm usually I have to be in an actual physical location where this disaster is going to take place. You know, and then I will see it. I will see both images. I'll see what's there going on now, and I will see, you know, the destruction. When I first was doing this as a small child, I didn't understand. I thought everybody else was seeing this, and I would mention it. But after a while, I began to realize you can't tell people this. You know, my young sister, she was looking like, I don't see it. What are you talking about? I said, right there. Can you see it? And I didn't realize what I was seeing until many years later when I saw something that was only a short distance in the future. And I saw it, you know, and then all of a sudden it took place. What I saw, you know, only it was really only a, maybe 15, 20 minutes before I saw what was about to take place in the room that I was in. I mean, so clearly that I could read the print in a book that was opened up in front of me. But it hadn't opened up yet. It wasn't going to open up for another 15 minutes. It wasn't even in the room yet. It was going to come in, be put in this place, and I could read that page. Then I started realizing, oh, that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing the future. And I've told some people about it, but if I told you everything, it would scare you to death. But I'm telling you that you need to repent, turn around, and start loving one another. Because you haven't been doing that. You're not a Christian. You're not saved. You don't have eternal life. Well, you have eternal life, but you have it in a place that you will not like. Because it's where, because sacrifice draws you near. giving of your life draws you near that God of the universe that gives life. But he also gives choice. And there's a whole section of the universe on another plane that chooses not to give life, but is absolutely comfortable with taking life. It's the doggy world of hell. Dog-eat-dog world of hell. Ruling over, taking, very often very organized. Oh, they love organizing. You know, they like everybody walking in a straight line. I mean, you see it in the troops. They love the goose step because of the pounding, the beat. It's another heartbeat. And if you choose that way, you're drawn towards that realm. And the influence of that mind that thinks it's okay to take a bite out of one another becomes your mind. And you think it's okay too. As a matter of fact, you think you have a right to take a bite out of your neighbor. You can't even see the evil of that anymore. Oh, you'll feel the pain when they take a bite out of you. But you don't feel the remorse when you take a bite out of your neighbor. You get other people to do it. And this is where this is the evil. Now you're going to see all kinds of evil coming up. Where, you know, we see these ranchers, they're losing their land. It's not just ranchers and miners and private, you know, little widows who had a cabin in the woods that they inherited. The road that goes out to that cabin, private land, in the middle of the Forest Service, been in the family for generations. All of a sudden they come along with a bulldozer and plow up the road that lets her get to her cabin. She can't get out. I guess she can't get to it anymore. To her property. She can't get to it anymore. Oh, well, we're closing that road. But that's my access to the only way I can get in. I have to walk 20 miles in. Oh, well, that's too bad. We're closing the road. We have the authority to do that. I mean, this has been going on for 20, 30 years. It's just getting, now they want to get a lot more than 20 acres in the middle of the woods. They want to get millions of acres, and they're getting it. We show on our page, we have a video of them laughing and joking about how they're just taking land away from people by the millions of acres. They think they're all justified. Oh, we're doing this for environmental reasons and because we're so wonderful and we're going to make these huge blocks of private land and we're going to preserve the land. The people you work for have no interest in preserving the land. They're accessing the resources and they're taking, you know, we're importing beef. We used to export, we used to feed the world in this country. It's coming a day where we can't even feed ourselves. And we can't see it coming. I've told you before, we used to have 7 years supply of grain on the farms for all the needs of the United States and all the people of the United States, stored in silos in the hands of private farmers in this country. Now, we don't have that. We don't have that. The whole shift, I've known and talked and sat down with grain buyers, and they've seen this coming for years. That, you know, that we, all our natural resources are going abroad. Our jobs are going abroad. You know, and people get mad and they shake their fists. You can change all that for you and others if you start networking together. The most predominant form of government in the history of mankind is the government of the tens, hundreds, and thousands. 10 families get together and start caring about one another, creating businesses, providing for one another, producing for their community. And they get together with, they connect themselves with other groups of 10 families. And we see this happening in places like Indonesia. Christians are doing it. Syrian Christians are already doing it. French Underground did it during World War II. You can start right now. And that's what the network is. It's people caring about one another enough to come together in a network of tens, hundreds, and thousands so that you will have a place to go when the lights go out. Because most of you listening on this radio program, I don't want you coming where I am. Because you're just a bunch of selfish pigs. Yo, you're going to squeal like a selfish pig when bad things happen. But if you won't come together now, if you won't sacrifice a little time every week now, start organizing yourselves now just to help out the people that are falling between the cracks a little bit now. What makes you think you're going to be worthy of more righteous habitations? You cheat on your income tax, you'll cheat on us. You want out of the system, you just want out of paying for the system. Oh, I don't want any of the benefits, but you don't want to be a benefit. You're not worthy of a more righteous habitation. I have to be hard on you, because as many as I love, I also rebuke. But you can change that. But you're addicted to wrong thinking. So what do you do when you're addicted? AA. You know, we did a whole program on AA. Addicts Anonymous. That's what you are. You're addicted to a line of thinking that is straight from hell. Straight from this other dimension. That is parallel stringed quantum dimension. That sucks you into the dog-eat-dog world. Where you become selfish and more selfish and more selfish. And you can tell that you're in that because as soon as things don't go your way, you leave. You drop the ball and leave. That's a sign that hell is guiding you. And I tell you that so you know and you can repent and stop following the ways of hell and start coming together in love. Jesus knew people would abandon him. Peter abandoned him. I mean, the first time he got arrested, when he willingly went, guys were leaving so fast they left their clothes. They ran off naked. These are his apostles, for God's sakes. I understand that, but I have to call it like it is so that you can repent. You need to turn around and go the other way. And so that's what we're trying to teach you is how that looks and how that works. And know when you're stepping off the path. We'll come back and we'll tell you a little bit more about the path and how it works and how it can change you. And open your mind and open your heart. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back. So anyway, we're talking about, you know, as far as this EMP and CME, coronal mass ejection, power pulse that knocks out the electricity for the United States and Canada and probably part of Mexico and could actually happen over Europe as well. Europe probably has to worry more about chemical warfare than anything else, as well as all the rioters and the helplessness of the private individual citizen. The reality is the whole world will be affected. But Jesus said, look for signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. And of course, he was not only talking about our time, but his own time. And like I said, those signs were there. And then they are followed by earthquakes, which is a part of the process, which I've explained elsewhere at other times. But right now, we want to understand what it is that is blocking us from being the superheroes of Christ, from being those people who can see what other people can't see. They can see through the brick walls and know what's going on the other side. They can actually go about saving others because that's their desire. They're not interested in just saving themselves. They're interested in saving others. They're willing to even sacrifice themselves in order to save others. You know, and, you know, Haig Jr., that's, you know, he said he'd take this fight on even if he had to do it all over again. Because he knew that we're not supposed to be looking for an easy life. And he's probably a great guy. You know, I'd love to meet him. And there are other guys. You know, some of these guys I would scold, just like I'm scolding you now. Because as many as I love, I also rebuke, because there are things that they're not seeing. And I could go into that, but I've already talked about it in other shows. And you can go back to the archives and hear these other shows. But we have this huge disaster that's going to come, even without economic collapse, which we're going to have too. And of course, this would totally economic collapse. I mean, you know, people are worried about your money not worth anything. Your money isn't worth anything now. You've already gone this way. I talked about the Kerrigan effect, which Richard Kerrigan and Richard Hodgson's are the guys who observed this coronal mass ejection on the sun. Now, Chinese knew about this thousands of years ago. I knew about it since I was 5 years old, which is over half a century ago, well over half a century ago. And I knew then when I first saw my first solar sunspot through a telescope in Bobby Maloney's yard that this was important. That, you know, and I was just drawn towards it because this thing inside me was telling me what was coming. But I didn't have a full picture. I still don't have a full picture. I don't want it because, I mean, it's so terrible. But to show you how, you know, you say, well, I was way back in, what, it was 1859, I think it was. September 1st, 1859, that's right it was. Sometimes I can remember these things. But anyway, I've seen these CMEs since. One just missed Earth. You know, we're hurtling through space. You know, the world is not really flat. That's another thing, is people will start to accept almost anything with bits and pieces of the truth. They have no anchor in reality. The eyes in their head can't see the world spinning around because they're fools on the hill. And they're fools because they won't see the truth about themselves, their own anger, their own resentment, their own unforgiveness. Because most of the reasons you don't go into those dark places that begin to close off your ability to perceive reality is because you won't forgive. Now, it's most often the case. And so you have to practice that. And you have to get together with others who are seeking to do the same thing. And if you can't stick with those others, that's a clear sign you can't forgive. If you have to abandon and leave others, you haven't learned to forgive. Or leave your responsibility to others for somebody else. That's clear evidence that you're having forgiveness issues. But anyway, back in July of 2012, you know, I've been watching the sun intensely. I mean, the internet is amazing. We can actually see live feeds. Used to be able to. Now that a lot of times we're not seeing actual live feeds. We're seeing everything delayed a little bit. And suddenly, all of a sudden, you can't see. They don't want you to see. But when they first started setting up, you could actually get live feeds. July 23rd, 2012, there was a coronal mass ejection from the sun. It was hurtling towards the Earth, but because it was like a couple days off, it missed us because we didn't move into its path simultaneously when it was passing by. It was kind of interesting. Normally, a coronal mass ejection leaves the sun at about 400 kilometers per second. This one left at 2,000 kilometers per second. There's other phenomena I haven't seen hardly anybody notice. I've seen them notice some of the patterns, but they haven't seemed to put it together publicly yet, that when coronal mass ejections take place in a certain location, geometrical location on the sun, when that sunspot passes that location, if you have a coronal mass ejection at that time, something happens on the Earth instantaneously. I've seen this several times. Fortunately, like the coronal mass ejection that's hitting today is only like a M class, M1. Then you go M2, M3, M4, all the way up to, you know, when you get into M10, you jump up to an X class flare. And then you can go X1, X2, X3, X, you know, all the way up to X9, and then you jump into they don't have a number for that. They used to not even have it on the charts because they didn't think it would ever exist. But now they've seen it happen. They say, oh, we got to add another 10 logarithms to this this progressive chart. And so now we have a mega flare. You get hit by a mega flare. Almost every time you see a mega flare, you see other flares, other toroidal balls coming behind it. 1, 2, 3, 4 even. Serious stuff. Besides losing the grid, all kinds of stuff will happen. It will be spectacular. Your kids will be talking about it for thousands of years. But unfortunately, most of your kids will be dead. Because so many people are going to die. And I'm here to tell you what to do to prevent that. You can't stop these events from happening. But you can change your relationship to these events. Does God permit evil? God permits choice. Most of the choices you make aren't really choices. They're a product of your mind. It's tree of knowledge stuff, and you've been led to think a certain way, and you certain things you can't even consider, you can't even see. I mean, you sit right in front of people and talk about this coveting your neighbor's goods. If you're beginning to see what I'm saying at all, there's hope. But there's a lot of people out there who don't get it at all. I mean, I might as well be talking Greek. They're not going to get it at all. Now, they might get it when they're on that road trying to get to the next town because they're starving to death. And when they're laying there in the grass and there's foam coming out of their mouth because they've been eating grass, like they did during the potato famines in Ireland. When people were just starving, they would go from town to town and there was just nothing to eat. And so people would eat grass, eat the bark off the trees. And people would actually eat each other. Some of these events on the sun are going to cause, even if you had fuel, you won't have crops. So those people who think, well, we're growing our garden, we don't depend on fuel, we've got water running out of the hills, or we got an artesian and we got... It won't make any difference. You still won't have crops because of other things. You know, those other things I'm not mentioning. So anyway, what is evil? It's the absence of God. Just like darkness is the absence of light. And if you choose the dark side, forever will it control your destiny. It will control the way you think. You know, that's from the movie. But that's... You know, you're hearing these things in the movie because it's true. And you started down the dark path when you thought it was okay to take from your neighbor. When you made your city the cauldron and you were the flesh. And you had one purse and you began to bite out of one another. And you followed the Bernie Sanders of the world into a realm of socialism. And you've all done it. Public school is socialism. And it changes the way you think. And all I can do is pray for you. I can't make you think rightly. But you can start turning around. And when you start turning around, there'll be another layer and another layer and another layer that you'll have to see. And you'll come to a wall and you will not want to go beyond that wall. You have to stick with it and persevere until the end. And get behind that wall and beyond that wall and beyond the next one. God allows us choice by withholding his will from imposing his will upon us. But it will come in nature. He can only hold it back. It will come in nature. The judgment will come. It has to. It's in the law of nature. What you have to do is let God's will in you. You've been rejecting it because you've been rejecting the truth about yourself. You've been hiding in the garden. You're in the garden right now, by the way. You haven't left the garden. You just can't see it. You can't access it. You're fleeing it because you're fleeing the truth about yourself. Your mind is chattering away You know, we did several shows in this series on this already. Your mind is chattering away, and you need to quiet your mind. You need to study to be still. We'd like to start seminars here and start teaching you how to do that in small groups. You know, we've had festivals here, but we'd like to do more. But you have to start coming together. There's no reason to bring you here if you won't even come together and start caring about one another. There's no reason to set up cities of refuge when you're going to bring hell with you. And so you have to start turning around and going back the other way. You have to give weekly to your local congregation. You have to form charitable projects. And I've talked to the ministers about this. I won't go into it now. We don't have enough time. Easy charitable projects. You don't have to start whole big organizations. They're already out there. There are people out there already doing charitable work. Some of them are doing it well. Some of them are doing it not so well. Some of them are doing it very badly. But the point is, there are people already doing it. You have to gather together, understanding the tens, hundreds, and thousands, which we explain in great detail in books that are free online, and start caring about one another. Forming your core groups, your teams of righteousness. And start getting more and more people, finding out who in your community has a sense of righteousness. And they could be the poorest of the poor, they could be the richest of the rich. It doesn't really matter. They could have a hijab on and be closer to the kingdom than somebody who goes to church every week. Good. They could be black, they could be white, they could be red, they could be yellow. I don't know. I guess that's the Chinese, the yellow race. I don't know. It's all, you know, I don't even see that stuff. I want to see your soul. But more than that, I want you to see your soul. I want you to see what you have not been willing to see about yourself. Because until you do, you cannot be filled with the light of God's peace. You're hiding from the truth. The purpose of God is the knowledge of God in you. That's what he wants. But you have to let him in. But that knowledge does not come from studying books. It's studying to be quiet so you can hear God in your heart and in your mind. And when you do, you will start to want to sacrifice for your fellow man. You will not be thinking, how do I save myself? How do I make myself more comfortable? I mean, you need to be taking care of the elderly, yourselves, in your own homes. Your parents, in your own homes. Yeah, he's cranky. So what? You need to be doing that. We have ministers who will help you do that, and we will teach you to be ministers to do that. You're lost in the tree of knowledge. You're not accessing the Holy Spirit. And I mean, all of you must have, if you're beginning to hear any of what I'm saying, you're beginning to touch that resource. And it's becoming a source, but you're still addicted to this tree of knowledge, and you have to turn around and get away from that. You know, these stories of people losing their land and all this kind of stuff, you have compassion. What can you do about it? Wake up. It's time to wake up to your own reality, your own selfishness, your own denial, your own blindness, and start realizing. And there's a lot of people that are beginning to wake up and beginning to see things. We have a long ways to go. It's been a long walk to Rome. Now we have to turn around and go back towards the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And his righteousness is about sacrificing ourselves, not forcing other sacrifice out of the hands of others so that we can be comfortable. If you're still doing that, if you're still thinking that's okay because it was done by government, you're not a Christian. You haven't accepted Jesus. You may have begun to turn around, but you got to turn all the way around. You got to face the music of your own sin. And you may need help doing that. And the way you get help, you know, AA, what do? They get a sponsor. Sponsor who's gone a long way for a little while, and now he's going to help you, and he's helping you, and he's helping you, and he's helping you. And then eventually, in order to really help you, you have to become a sponsor. That's what a congregation is. Each of you, it's not some minister sitting up there and talking to you for an hour and a half. It's not singing songs. It's harmonizing in the spirit of Christ. You know, they sang songs in the pagan temples, and they harmonized songs. But they weren't harmonizing with the Spirit of God, the Creator, the Giver of life. They were harmonizing with a spirit that likes to take from his neighbor, to take life, to control, to get everybody to march in a straight line, to plow that straight furrow, and then plant everything in a row. That's not the way nature works. Nature is a hodgepodge. Someday I'll tell you a vision I have of after the disaster. There's after the disaster and millions of people dying, billions of people dying, and the destruction that is coming. After that. Now you hear me chuckle a little bit when I'm talking about this. I'm not afraid. I'm afraid I won't do right by you. That I won't take the time to rebuke you so that you will begin to start the road back to Christ. To Moses. To God the Father. Who art in this heavenly place from which life emanates like a beacon of light. But you won't let that light in because it also shows you the darkness in your own hearts. You have to be willing to hear the whole truth, mostly the truth about yourself. Now I'm going to be on these other radio programs, and I will go on every day to these programs, even though I have to rush out of here as soon as I'm done and do other chores because I'm all alone except for small little grandchildren. You have to wake up and start caring about other people. And then God will open your eyes some more. He will take the scales off your eyes, and you will see things that you did not believe were possible. You're going to see things you didn't think were possible anyway, but you're going to be on the short end of the stick unless you repent and start gathering together in the character of Christ. What was the character of Christ? Who came to serve. That's why you go to congregations. To serve. Not be served. Not to impose your will upon others. Impose your doctrine upon others. But to give life. To give your life so that others may have life more abundant. And then God will give you more life. You will tap in to the inexhaustible divine essence from which the Big Bang came from, if you want to do the Big Bang thing. God is the Big Bang. Yeah, you're going to find out as time goes on that a lot of these theories that are being proposed are missing huge gaps of facts and information from evolution to what have you. And we can sit and argue about that, but if we will not deal with our own spiritual and emotional and sin traumas in our own hearts. And that's why God gives us children. That's why God gives us family. That's why God gives us neighbors. Because in that interaction, by sticking and interacting with those people, we will be made aware of the dark spots in our own heart. They will come to light in the light of our neighbors. Now, Our neighbors aren't always as full of truth as they ought to be, but they can often see our faults better than we can. But, well, you know, once you start waking up, you get to go over to your neighbor's house and show him his faults. Now, don't rub it in, but he's got faults too. They're just different than yours. So he can see yours, but he can't see his. And this is why you have to come together, is to help one another see one another's faults. Because you don't get better by seeing your neighbor's faults. You get better by seeing your own. By receiving the light that God is bringing you, you can change and you will heal. You'd be amazed. Joints can heal back. Minds can be healed. People who have been crippled since birth can be healed. Epigenetic DNA can turn on. And a person who was retarded, deformed, can be made whole again if you will receive the light enough to see your own weaknesses and weep in love and patience and forgiveness. This isn't just, you know, touchy-feely love. This is the two-edged sword of love that destroys the evil and makes whole them that are not whole now. But if you think you're already saved, you think you already know, you will remain blind until it's too late. Repent now. Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness now. Turn around. Let's go the other way. Join the network. Form congregations of record. Put your hand to the plow. And maybe we'll talk some about what a minister is not. A minister is just to connect your light with the next light. We're all fungus. You know, trees grow up in the woods and they actually communicate with one another through fungi in the ground and through their own roots touching one another. Cellular communication. They will actually communicate. Not complex theories of relativity, but they communicate with one another on a very low level. It's in nature. You need to communicate with Christ and then share that communication with others. Bring the light of Christ in you to others. And I know some of you have done it, but we have to do it the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And then God will help us. Until then, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.